Today is Palm Sunday. It's a day which the Christian Church has kept since the 4th century. Palm Sunday marks the start of Holy Week and Jesus' journey to the cross. And we have a very familiar story. We hear the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey. We hear of the crowd shouting Hosanna, spreading their cloaks on the ground, cutting palm branches and spreading them before Jesus. It's described in all four Gospels, which is actually really unusual to have something which appears in every single Gospel. And it shows us that what happened on that day, that Palm Sunday, is very significant. The account varies very slightly in each Gospel, but they all tell of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and of the crowd shouting and praising him. So I imagine the story is very familiar to most of you. However, as we gather together this Palm Sunday, as we look together ahead to Holy Week, let's try and approach the passage as if we'd never heard it or seen it before, as if we're hearing it for the first time. Let's look at the text together and see where it takes us. The first clue is in the heading that's very helpfully put at the start of the passage. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. Interestingly, if you look in each of the other Gospels, the heading is exactly the same. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. So that gives us the first indication of why this particular event is so momentous. Although I think that's not the whole story. More about that later. So what is it about this ride into Jerusalem that makes it so kingly, so dramatic, so momentous? Well, let's begin with the very fact that Jesus rides in. He must have walked hundreds and hundreds of miles up and down the land we now call the Holy Land. But there is no mention of him ever riding, except in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. None of the Gospel accounts ever mention Jesus riding any animal to get from one place to another, except here. Jesus had already walked the 65 miles or so from Galilee with many thousands of other Jews coming for the Passover. And yet now, just as they're almost there, just as they are on the outskirts of Jerusalem, he sends two of his disciples to fetch a donkey and her colt. They must have wondered why. Jesus had never done this when he'd visited Jerusalem for the Passover before. Why now? What did it mean? Whilst the disciples trusted and obeyed Jesus, they must have wondered what was going on, and they probably at this point didn't fully understand. Matthew, the Gospel writer, makes it very clear what it means. In verse 4, he states, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Matthew's quoting here from the book of Zechariah. And if you want to look and check, it's on page 903, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. 500 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the prophet Zechariah wrote, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And Zechariah goes on to explain further in verse 10, "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth." Zechariah makes it very clear that this king is to bring peace for all. You see, in that part of the world at that time, in times of war, conquerors would ride in chariots or prancing stallions. But in times of peace, the tradition was that a king would ride on a donkey or a young colt to symbolize that peace prevailed in his country. So for Jesus, To ride into Jerusalem on a colt is to declare that he is not only a king, but a king proclaiming peace. This, I think, is the point of Palm Sunday. This was a very public declaration of who he was and of what he was doing. And the crowd understood a part of that, at least. They responded to Jesus as ruler. They spread their cloaks before him. They waved palm branches. They laid them on the road with their cloaks as a kind of red carpet before him. They shouted and they sang in praise. The very words they sang and shouted tell us something of who and what they saw Jesus as. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Hosanna literally means, Lord, save us. And we just heard those very words read from Psalm 118. Verse 25 of the psalm reads, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were singing psalms. They responded to Jesus as ruler. They saw him as a king coming to save them. But did they see him as a king coming to bring peace? I don't think they did. You see, they only partly understood. As I said before, I think Jesus coming to Jerusalem as king is part of the story, but only part. And in focusing on the king coming to save them, they are missing the point that Matthew makes so clearly, that the kind of rule that Jesus is offering is a rule of peace. And I think to understand the mood and the deep desires of the crowd, we need to remember that this was the beginning of the great 8-day Passover festival, when the Jews remembered how God had brought them out of slavery in Egypt, how he had saved them from their oppressors. Jews from all over the world were gathering in Jerusalem to celebrate. The city must have been absolutely full to overflowing. At this time of year, the Jews recounted, retold, remembered how God had saved them from oppression. And remember, they are once again under an oppressive rule, under the rule of the Roman Empire. The leaders in Rome knew this. They knew that this was a potential threat and a time of deep political instability for them. So they responded in the obvious way. At Passover, there was a huge military presence in Jerusalem to keep order, to keep the Jews under control. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, had already entered Jerusalem to occupy the Antonia Fortress with a full complement of elite and battle-hardened Roman soldiers, ever ready and willing to suppress any attempted uprising that might occur. And as I read about all this happening in the commentaries, I was so struck by what Jerusalem must have looked like. Imagine the scene. As the Roman military and all their leaders came in on their war horses, followed by chariots full of power and pageantry, they would have approached Jerusalem from the west. But at the same time, coming in from the east was Jesus, one man riding on a donkey. Matthew doesn't tell us which of those two animals Jesus rode, but from looking at the four gospel accounts, I think it most likely he rode in on the young, unbroken colt with its mother trotting along beside it. Coming in from the east, even as the mighty war horses still streamed in from the west, Jesus' intention couldn't have been clearer. His timing couldn't have been clearer. He was coming as king in peace. Yet what the crowd really wanted was the exact opposite, a release from oppression, an earthly king come to re-establish the throne of David, to overthrow the Roman Empire. They were ready and eager to place a crown on his head, which perhaps explains why only days later, when it was clear that this was not Jesus' intention, the mood of the crowd changed, and they turned from cries of Hosanna cries of crucify him. He'd let them down. He hadn't given them what they wanted. As people cried out, Hosanna on this day, save us, They weren't asking to be saved from their sins. They were asking that Jesus save them from a system of domination. And they threw down their cloaks. The act of throwing one's cloak down on the ground was an act of submission, of homage, of laying oneself down in the hopes that the coming king would be able to bring deliverance. Because the people were so unhappy under Roman rule, they were all too willing to submit to Jesus, who they hoped would be a new ruler, a ruler who would bring them liberation. A few days later, they were not so willing to submit to Jesus, who'd made it clear that he had come to rule by means of humility and in peace. On Palm Sunday, they were praising the king they thought Jesus was, but they missed what he was really offering them. Do we do the same? Do we praise Jesus for what we think he will do in us and for us? And when it turns out sometimes that perhaps his plans for us are different from those that we've painstakingly worked out, do we feel he's let us down or even turn away from him? In a minute, we're going to be singing together words about Jesus' holiness. We'll be singing those words, Hosanna, together. If you sing, as you sing those words, know who you're singing to. If we praise Jesus, we need to praise him for who he really is, for what he really wants to do in our world through us. Because there is a danger that all too often we praise Jesus for what we think he'll do for us. So, Palm Sunday, and I think the message is simply this: Jesus is the King who comes to us with peace. Not to iron out every problem we have, not to give us financial security or worldly success, but to offer us peace. And he comes this Palm Sunday to a world that needs peace as much as it ever has. Just as Jerusalem on that fateful Palm Sunday was a tinderbox of political unrest, so our world is in a state of uncertainty and fear, oppression, tension, persecution. We see it on our TV screens every day. We see cities in Syria torn apart by war. We see a residential housing estate in Croydon and an Iranian teenager attacked and beaten by a gang who are targeting him simply for where he came from. We see it in a lorry crash in Sweden, reopening fears of terrorism there. Our world needs Jesus' message of peace as much as it ever has. Our world needs us. It needs people who will show that there is a different way to live, a different way to behave. And what about us? Even in our relatively cocooned, safe lives in and around Chipstead, we so often lack peace. We're always in a rush, thumbing our smartphones and our iPads as we chase after the next thing on our busy agenda. We look for peace in all sorts of ways. If only I could get that job, then I'll have peace. If only I could buy that house, pass that exam, pay off the mortgage, get away from that situation, just get to the end of term, then I'll get a bit of peace. Wrong. It's wrong because peace doesn't depend on our circumstances. True peace is something that's within us. And that is what Jesus is offering us today. But perhaps, like the crowd on Palm Sunday, we don't hear or see what's on offer because we're too busy with our list of what we're expecting him to give us. Jesus comes as King. He comes as King to bring peace to a broken world that needs it so desperately. He comes as King to bring peace to each one of us who need it so desperately. So today, we'll take home our palm cross, as Christians have done since the earliest times. Palm Sunday points us to the cross, the symbol of peace for which Jesus died. If you need peace today, you need simply give your yes to Jesus and begin receiving his forgiveness and peace. If you're already a follower of Christ, then we need to keep living in his peace and to keep living out his peace in our world. Then Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom of peace, will be coming in us and through us. And people like us, and little by little, our nation and our world will be transformed. Let's pray together. Lord, as we acknowledge you as King, as we acknowledge you as the bringer of peace, we ask that you would bring peace into our hearts today. That as we journey together through this holy week, we know that you journey alongside us, that you are our peace and the peace for this world, and that you are our salvation. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.